All right, 7:02 in the morning. Hope you're wide awake. Everything's ready to go. I know you probably just woke up. Your alarm went off, and you're like, oh, I got to get moving. I got to get going here. So you're like, where's Ken? Where's Anthony? Oh, man, what two idiots are on today? And you're like, it's the Always Game Day in Cleveland, folks. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Thanks for being on board this morning.
Just don't have Baskin make your coffee for you this morning.
Well, I think the coffee's pretty good. Have you guys tried it yet or no?
No, I'm getting close to the end of this cup. I won't go over there.
It's okay. I mean, again, it goes back
to... not, by the way, it's okay is not a great endorsement
from the
of
guy that made the coffee.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not, it's coffee. It's not, you know, there's nothing over the top about it.
If your endorsement is, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah, it's if you need some coffee and you're looking at a little bit of a percolation going in the morning.
Yeah, I don't profess to be a...
Do you even drink coffee? Like, I don't even think you're a coffee drinker at all.
I'm not, and I'm not going to profess to be a coffee connoisseur. But again, if your sales pitch to have the coffee is, it's okay, that's not good. Need to work on your sales pitch there, Baskin.
Danny Cunningham coming up at 7:20, Fix My Life, 7:45, Dane Brugler at 8 o'clock. So we've got a busy hour for you, so if you're getting dressed, you're getting ready to go to work, going to school, whatever you need to do, we got you covered. We'll take care of you in the background or whatever. Make sure you brush your teeth, man, because I got to tell you, you got morning breath today. Darryl, I'm just, and by the way, don't eat any of Darryl's donuts. Just telling you, it almost took me out this morning.
Well, that's
they almost had to call 911 on the
donuts. That's a you problem. That's not a me problem.
Were you concerned at all?
I was concerned. I was trained in Heimlich maneuver.
So I was like going to the chair. I was.
Your face
caught.
Did change color.
Well, at least, but you have that moment of clarity there for a second. You're like, okay, I got to get to a chair, right? Isn't that what you're supposed
right.
to think?
Yeah.
Get to a chair.
Because you might pass out. You don't want to be standing up when that happens.
Yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but there's a fine officer in the city of Cleveland I went to high school with who we're good friends. And we were one night, I was probably like 22 or 23. We're at the West Colony, a famous colony on Lee Road in Cleveland Heights. You know, no longer the colony, but and they had a peanut machine in the back. So I threw some quarters in there, and all of a sudden I'm talking to him, and I just pop one in, and all of a sudden my face turned blue, and this guy who became a paramedic and then became one of Cleveland's finest turned around and he goes, "Uh-oh!" And he saw like right away what was going on, and boom, hit me with in the middle, and all of a sudden that peanut went flying all the way across the bar. And then somebody else choked on it. No, I'm just kidding. But the peanut came flying out of me. It was crazy. I want to say his name, but I don't want to.
No, go ahead.
No, let's just tell you.
Give them both.
No, his name is Andy. I'll just say that, and I'm forever in his debt for saving my life because I was almost done. Otherwise, who knows what would this show be?
So this is a chronic thing for you.
I don't know. Maybe I haven't eaten.
You're a habitual choker.
Maybe I am. That's what happens when you're a fan of Cleveland sports teams, right? At the end of the day.
Well. That's a good segue because we spent all day yesterday. Well, most of the day yesterday, did Darius Garland choke?
It's a great question. Did he, Darryl?
It's easy to say he did when you're talking about missing free throws at the end of a game.
He didn't seem to care though. At the end, he just kind of laughed it off.
Well,
I mean, you have to. I mean,
to.
You're 36-7. You're a professional athlete. You're going to try
he
to make
missed
it.
Four free throws going into that game. He missed five.
The shot selection with 2.5 seconds. Like, what was Donovan thinking?
I don't know.
I would say he did. I wouldn't say he didn't care. I would say that he tried to diffuse the end result. Like, he cared he missed the free throws.
The problem is if you go back and I'm not even going to talk about the free throws. It's the last play of the game. They still had a shot, right?
Yeah.
There's like 2.3 seconds to go in the game.
Should Kenny Atkinson be coaching in the All-Star game because the out-of-timeout play was a disaster? 2-on-6.
I just don't understand it. The defender's in his face, and all he had to do, Darius was at the top of the key, and he had a clear path to the restricted zone where he could have just laid it in. But for some reason, Donovan felt the pressure to get the shot off so quick.
Yeah, we didn't need three.
No, and he had a moment, you know?
Yeah.
He had a moment. We could have won that game with a layup.
Look, the Cavaliers are playing their worst.
Like I play. Yeah. Cavs could have won with a layup.
They're playing their worst basketball of the season. They're 3-3 in their last six.
Are we concerned about that? Is that a worry, Darryl Ryder?
I did the math, which means the math is wrong.
Okay.
If they go 20-19 the rest of the way, they'll end up 56-26.
Now that's a disappointment.
They
can't only win 56 games.
That would be a crash and burn, wouldn't it?
How many games did they win last year? I know you know I was going to ask you. But you know why? Because we don't care how many games they win. All they do is get to the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
That's all anyone ever cares about. Did you get to the playoffs?
I don't feel that way about them this year. I think after this start, they have to be Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah,
and again, they won 48 last year. By the way.
48, so that's a what, plus seven? Is that what you said? 55?
The year before, they won 51.
Yeah, 56 is not enough for me. They got to be a 60-win team.
I'm with Owen. You want to make sure, because the problem with the Cavs the last couple of years is they have trailed off in the second half of the season, and you do not want to be trailing off the second half of the season this year. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that they need to maintain the same 83.7 or 837 winning percentage that they're currently at.
That's ridiculous. But we all knew there was no way they were going to be able to play at this clip. No way.
Mitch, what'd you tell us? Would they have to go the rest of the way to match the Golden State Warriors?
I think it was like 37-3, somewhere around there.
Okay, the reason I called you in is because when the math is wrong, I want you to be blamed.
Got it.
That's good.
I don't want to worry about them matching Golden State or trying to beat Golden State, because last time I checked, the Golden State Warriors did not win the NBA championship that year. Just saying.
What was that series? They were down
3-1? 2016. Yeah, that'd be the Cavs.
Were they down?
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody talk about that. They were down what?
3-1? 73-win Warriors team did not win the NBA championship. So I'm not concerned. And I think, too, it takes pressure off.
31-2 was the record. My apologies.
31-2. Okay.
Oh, they can do that.
Please tell me you used the calculator the second time around.
I did.
Okay.
You guys are unbelievable. But the trade deadline is not this Thursday, but next Thursday. So it's the 6th, February 6th, 3 o'clock. Do they need to make a move?
I think they need to get a wing.
Okay, I think we all think that. What do they have to give up to get a wing?
I can't
wait to get a hold of their second-round picks.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to do a three-team trade to make something happen.
Okay.
By the way, congratulations to the Utah Jazz completely punting on their future by basically giving the Phoenix Suns all their draft picks for a first-round pick 6 years from now.
Oh, I thought that was that's a great trade for
I think that was hilarious.
Wait, so you think it's a bad trade?
The Cavs picks aren't going to be that good.
That's why.
Because the Cavs are so good, they've had to do this because there wasn't going to be much value to those picks they got for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I thought that was a good trade. I thought that was a really good trade for Utah.
I'm being facetious here with you know, the whole situation being what it is. So, you know, Kobe Altman, you know, cleaned up right there. So,
well, we'll see. But, you know, at one point, though, it didn't look like it was worth it. You know, if Mitchell wouldn't have come back and re-signed, then the question, you'd be sitting here with Deshaun, that same kind of Deshaun feeling. Like, Cleveland, home of, let's trade away our first-round picks.
Yeah. Well, at least no matter we got wins working out of this one.
Yeah.
The Guardians had the number one overall, which is weird. How did that happen? Never happened before in franchise history.
We'll talk to Danny Cunningham about this, but I kind of feel like Cam Johnson's the guy that they should go get.
Yeah, I think everyone is kind of in on that. Again, I'm asking you.
You do a three-team trade.
Do we have to lose Karras for this?
You might.
Like, he's the guy with the contract that can be moved.
Really, if you look at it, there's three things they have. They have a bunch of second-round picks. You could probably trade away that next available first-round pick way down the road. You could get rid of Jalen Tyson, which I don't know that anyone's ready to do yet, right?
Yeah,
but you've got the expiring contract that you just talked about.
But to get something, you got to give something up.
I agree.
And for me, it's, look, Tyson may turn into, you know, what Markkanen ended up turning into with the Jazz. But look, trying to win it all this year. Well, this is the year to try and win it all.
I wasn't happy with the run it back philosophy that they had this offseason.
Me neither.
But, it's, you know, I was wrong on that, apparently, up to this point, right?
It's worked.
Kenny Atkinson has been the only change in what they have done as an organization this season.
Right.
And I'd love to believe that that's all it takes to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals now. But, you know, I do worry about, are they going to hit this lull that they generally hit?
Let me throw this one
season.
Is there a move they could make that would aggravate the fans? If you got rid of anybody from the core four,
that's not even a consideration.
They're not going to do it. But I'm just saying, what would aggravate fans at this point? Because you're sitting here, you're still 36 and 7.
If Ty Jerome wasn't part of the team, he's been such a key contributor in his role. you'd have to really upgrade that to get rid of him for me.
Max Strus, George Niang, what's nice about this Cavs team is that everybody plays a role. And they know what their roles are. There's no ego in that locker room, which is really, really rare. And I actually was having a conversation with a buddy of mine. He's a Suns fan.
Wait, is it weird or is it rare?
It's rare.
Oh, I thought you said it's rare.
No, it's rare.
I'm like, cool word. Take credit for it.
It's
you're so rare.
What's unique about this situation is you're not. You know what,
Mitch? Are you rare? Are you cool? You're rare.
Hey, right, who
cool.
is that tennis guy? By the way,
my kids say a lot of stupid words that I don't understand now, and now I know where they get them from, Daryl.
They're listening to the podcast.
See, I probably should have had some of Andy Baskin's coffee.
I'm telling you, this coffee is getting way better. Stop it. You're playing this game with the coffee.
When you tell me the coffee is watery, again, not an endorsement.
It's not bad. I didn't stir it up. I put the creamer in first, and I didn't do a deep stir on it.
Again, you're not helping yourself.
Now that I'm hitting the bottom, it's pretty good. It's like,
you're hitting the bottom of the bottle.
It's like hot chocolate. Same kind of thing. We're all kind of on the same page. You want to talk a little Cavaliers?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Sorry, the coffee pot was blocking the mouse for me to get to Danny. Danny Cunningham is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know him and love him because you hear him on the air here. Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, the inside shot on Substack as well. Morning, Danny. Thanks for waking up, man. Appreciate you.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're good. He's killing me. I made a pot of coffee here, and it's not very good. And it's just, it's okay.
What did you do wrong?
I it's just watery. It just tastes a little watery.
He keeps trying to come getting better as the morning's going on, Danny.
It's all about the creamer.
Come on. Don't be that guy. Just accept that it's bad if it's bad and move on.
It's not. I'm just telling you, I've had bad coffee before, and I've had coffee that has literally put hair on my back. And this is, it's just not that. I can't explain it. It's not.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I didn't get the good mix, that's all. Like, I should have gone in there, and they had pretty good creamer. I brought that in with special because I knew I wasn't going to be able to stop. So then I didn't get a good stir in there, and so it got a little watery on the top. That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, these guys are going to hold this against me forever as, like, the worst coffee guy ever. But I'm not.
Yeah, I would for sure. I would definitely make sure to do that because once you make a bad pot of coffee, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, when you're describing it as watery and not that bad, that's not a ringing endorsement to drink Andy Baskin-made coffee.
But the good part about it is actually I'm going undercover. It's really good, and I just don't want Daryl to have any because
I'm not going to drink it
Daryl
anyway.
Without caffeine is bad enough. A little caffeine and Daryl, really, really bad.
I've actually cut caffeine out of my diet. You'd be surprised. This is just natural energy.
That is great. Danny, can we talk about the Cavs for a second? Donovan Mitchell, he's going to be a starter. Your thoughts on that? And look at that. Kenny could be his coach. Kenny Atkinson could be his coach on one of the three teams that isn't the Rising Stars.
Yeah, so I mean, Donovan, I think, is a very deserving starter, and he finished second in the fan vote behind LaMelo Ball, who is not named a starter. Donovan was first in media vote, first in player vote, and I think it's really cool that he gets this honor, considering that this is, by like counting stats, not the best season of Donovan's career. But I think if you watch the Cavs, you know that he still, at least in my opinion, has been the best player on what has been the best team in basketball, and he has willingly taken a step to the side so that Evan Mobley can elevate his game, so that Darius Garland can get his game back to playing at an all-star level. And I think that this is sort of a recognition of him saying, okay, you know what? I'm a really great basketball player, and I can go out and I can score 30 points any given night, but winning is going to be the thing that matters most to me this year, to the team this year. And I think that all of that is being reflected with him being named an all-star starter. Second time it's happened for him. I think it's a very deserving honor for him.
Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jarrett Allen, in my view, all deserving of all-star recognition. What are the odds all three make it? And if they don't, which one do you think gets snubbed?
So I think if they don't, it will be Jarrett Allen that doesn't make it, although I do think there's a path for him to make it. And the way that the reserves work is there will be three front court player reserves selected, two guards, and then two wild card spots. Evan Mobley is a lock, and he is of the three front court starters in the East, Karl Anthony Towns, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jason Tatum, all three deserving guys. two of those guys got 95 media votes, which is how many media members voted on this. Karl Anthony Towns got 91. Evan Mobley got the other four. No one else got a media vote to start other than Evan Mobley and the three guys that are starters. And I think that is something that is going to align with how the coaches, because those are the guys that picked the reserves here. I think that's going to align with that. So I think Evan is very safe as a first-time All-Star. Darius is interesting because the guard position is loaded in the Eastern Conference. But I just mentioned that media vote with Evan. Darius finished third behind Jalen Brunson, behind Donovan Mitchell. He was the next guy. He finished, I believe, tied for fifth in player vote, which is definitely a little weird. Like, there are guys that don't actually play NBA minutes that get votes from other players to be an All-Star. So I just think that's kind of silly. But I think that both of them will ultimately be an All-Star. Jarrett has a path because if there are only three front court players that are selected, Evan Mobley is a lock to be one. I think Boston's Jaylen Brown is a lock to be one. And then you start going down the list, and it gets real thin real quick. Like, Paolo Banchero was next in the fan vote. He's only played, I believe, 12 games. Franz Wagner, who, when he's been healthy, has absolutely been deserving of an All-Star appearance, but he's only played 20-something games after he just missed 4 weeks with the torn oblique. Like, I just wonder if they are going to reward Jared and the Cavs team's success here, partially because he deserves it, but partially because who's the next best option to be a front that third front court spot?
It's a good question. It's a good play. Yeah, I hear you. Danny, let me just switch gears just a little bit more on this All-Star stuff. What do you think of this new format?
I don't necessarily love it. I think that if the All-Star game is going to work, it's not going to be because a format changes. It's not going to be because they found this cool new wrinkle. It's going to be because the guys care. And if the guys don't care, it doesn't matter what you do on Sunday night at All-Star weekend to make the game try and work. It's not going to work. It's about getting a buy-in from the players. I just don't see how this format is going to do that. And, you know, we have had years where it's been good. We have had years like last year where it's been kind of an embarrassment. And I just think that unless the players really buy in and unless they care and unless they treat it like something that is just even a little bit closer to a real basketball game other than a let's just shoot 100 three-pointers and dunk and that's it. Until that changes, I just don't see how it's going to be good no matter what the format is.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, Inside Shot on Substack, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danny, Cavs back at it tonight. They've got the Sixers. The Rockets come to town Saturday for a rematch. Cleveland 3-3 in their last six games. When do we hit freakout mode?
If they start losing games in April in the playoffs, like this is, I mean, they've lost three games out of their last six. And I just, especially when Evan Mobley's not playing the way he did not play in the game against Houston the other night. Like, I just think that this is such a different team when Evan Mobley's not on the floor for any stretch of time. And I think that, you know, the Cavs have gotten off to such a great start and they've been fantastic and they were never going to continue, at least in my opinion, playing at a 73 win pace the way that they were, but they still have the best record in basketball. They've built up a good cushion. You know, I don't know if you've necessarily been paying enough attention to the rest of the league, but like Boston is 10-10 in their last 20 games. And I think people are starting to have worries about them, but The fact that the Cavs are 3-3 in their last six, I just don't find that big of a deal. Like, could they have won against Houston the other night? Sure. If Darius Garland makes those free throws, they win, but you probably look at that game and say, you know, I don't know that the Cavs deserve to win that one because they didn't play very good for the first three quarters. I think that defensively is where they need to get better. And then, you know, there are nights like Wednesday night in Houston where they have an off night offensively where I thought they missed a ton of open shots. I think they shot like 31% from three or something like that. And when they do that, when they don't have a good offensive game, when their defense is not at the elite level that we're used to seeing it be at, well, they're going to end up losing some games. And that just sort of happens. If this were happening, if they were playing like this, you know, 2 weeks before the playoffs, might be okay. This is going to raise an eyebrow here, but the fact that it's happening in the middle of January, I just don't find to be a big deal.
You mentioned the Warriors 73 win pace. Cavaliers starting to fall off that. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Do you?
No, I don't, because this is such a long season. And as long as the Cavs get the first seed in the Eastern Conference, I don't think it matters what their record is. Now, I say that, and if they get the first seed in the Eastern Conference and they win like 52 games and play at a 500 level the rest of the way or slightly below that, then yeah, that might be an issue. But this is a team that is on pace to win 60-plus games. If you check out all the betting sites, the live total for wins for them is like 63 or 64 and a half, depending on where you look. I do think it's important they finish with the first seed in the Eastern Conference, potentially the first seed in all of basketball, because when the playoffs arrive, I think the Cavs are really going to want any game one that is played to be at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and more importantly, any game seven that is played to be played at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse instead of, in particular, TD Garden in Boston. I think that is the really big deal to watch out for. But the way the Celtics are playing, the Cavs have such a big gap right now. I'd be very surprised if that doesn't happen. I will say, you know, I do think that the franchise record for wins in the season, which is 66, set in 2008-2009, I think that's in jeopardy. But I think if they beat it, it's probably 67.
Danny, I want to go back. Like, there were the missed free throws, and I feel like anything we say negative about this team, and I'm not trying to be negative at all, is nitpicky, because it's been such a great season. It's been fun. But the thing I really like about this team is that you can go back and look through, you know, just a sheet, and it'll tell you who the leading scorer was, and it's either Garland or Mitchell or Mobley or Allen. Like, and it rotates all the time, and I think that's super important because they're playing team basketball. The thing that kind of got me at the end of the game the other day was you can see where guys sometimes want to go back and play a little bit of hero basketball at the end. And I'm not saying that's a trend, but the thing that makes this team great is their ability to move the basketball. Any concerns or thoughts about that when we get into clutch time or we get into a seven-game series, that hero ball mentality, and I'm not saying that guys are doing it on purpose. I think that's just the way AAU and the way that they've come up through the ranks, this is kind of what guys think at the end of the game sometimes. But any concern about that, because the hero ball is not what has gotten them to where they are right now?
No, because I think that what they did offensively, while I agree with you, like the end of game offense against Houston was not very good. Mm-hmm. But I think that the way they look at the end of that game offensively probably looks pretty different if Evan Mobley's on the floor. Like, sure. I just think that the ball moves a little bit better. And I'm not like you're right. It wasn't a good enough, despite the missed free throws. Like, even if he makes those free throws, the end of game execution was not great. But I just think that I don't want to necessarily judge what their end of game offense looks like when in a game that Evan Mobley wasn't there and they didn't play very good offense in terms of shot making throughout the entire night. So I just think that, you know, yeah, you can nitpick, and when they are 36-7 the way they are, anytime you say anything that's less than complimentary, it is a little nitpicky because they've been so good and there just aren't very many negative things to say about this team. But I just think that the end-of-game offense is going to look better with Evan Mobley on the floor, because think back to the game they won against Oklahoma City and Cleveland. How did the end-of-game offense look like then? You know, Evan Mobley is the one that scored arguably the biggest basket of that game, and that not have him available, I just think, changes how they look.
Cam Johnson seems to be everyone's favorite for the Cavaliers to target at the trade deadline, which, by the way, is rapidly approaching, February 6th at 3 p.m. How do the Cavs pull that off?
I think if they were to pull that off, and I don't expect them to, because I think that ultimately they will get outbid by a team that has more first-round picks available. I think that they would have to trade their 2031 first-round pick, which they cannot put any protections on because it is so far into the future. So they'd send an unprotected 2031 first-round pick. I think Jalen Tyson would probably have to be part of that package, because the Cavs would have to tell the Nets that Jalen Tyson, who the Cavs believe has a bright future, and I certainly like as a young player, they would have to convince the Nets that, hey, he's just as good as a first-round pick, and then they'd have to find some other pieces throughout the roster that match in terms of Cam Johnson's salary, which is around $20 million. I think ultimately, guys, though, there are teams that have been linked to Cam Johnson that have multiple first-round picks available, and the team I look at is Oklahoma City. I don't know how bad Oklahoma City wants Cam Johnson, but if they want Cam Johnson bad enough, Cam Johnson's going to be a member of the Thunder, because they have, I believe, like 20 first-round picks that are available to be traded because of the moves that they made during their rebuild, including one with the Clippers where they acquired, I think, 7 first-round picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Paul George. So I ultimately think that are the Cavs interested? Sure. Who wouldn't be interested in a guy that's 6'8" and a 43% three-point shooter and a good defender? But ultimately, I just don't think that there's enough left in that war chest of draft assets for them to be able to swing a trade for him.
Danny, as always, appreciate the conversation. Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, and, of course, the Inside Shot on Substack. Thank you, Danny.
You got it, guys. Have a good day.
All right, have a great weekend.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Danny, what do we do? Fixing lives.
My life.
I'm not going to lie. I love this segment. I love hearing this segment when I come on in. I love listening to you boys have all these issues, all these problems in your life. And I like to listen in on your misery because I think we all have misery.
Well, yesterday was an all-timer because Lima is going under the knife and he was having...
Second thoughts.
He was having second thoughts about
it? Well, his wife almost tried to give him a pardon, but he said, no, I just got to go through it. So he's going through with it. That's at like 3 today.
Oh, so he's got...
He's doing something else this morning.
Did he tell everyone?
He's having a vasectomy.
Oh, that's right. Somebody had got him a cookie for it yesterday, didn't they?
That cookie pie brought in a cookie.
So for the folks asking me on X if we're going to have play-by-play of Anthony Lima's vasectomy this morning, the answer you're looking for there is no.
But maybe this afternoon. Who knows?
But I did have a hair emergency last night.
Oh, so you have a different type of snipping.
Before we get to that, you do know the biggest weekend of the year to have a vasectomy, right? Like,
They try to tell you it's March Madness.
It's March Madness. Yeah, that's like the big deal. Like at one point, they had talked about... trying to do some kind of promotion.
Making it a national holiday?
Well, no, where they would like send you pizzas to your house and stuff like that. And then, you know, because you were going to be sitting around all weekend, right? And if you're going to have to sit around and heal, why wouldn't you do that during the NCAA tournament? Right. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And by the way, the other thing, too, is every time...
Lima's a big college basketball fan, so I'm not so sure that schedule would work for him.
Well, it's perfect for him, unless he's going to Vegas for the weekend or something.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Might not have worked.
Well, that doesn't happen anymore. He has 2 children now. His life's over. His life's ruined. He tells us every day.
2 and through, right?
Yeah. So he's getting that taken care
something
of.
Something no one ever told you about, correct? 2 and through?
You know, I do what I need to do to get by. And
I feel your misery coming right through the microphone, man. Oh, man. The other reason I always like the segment was, too, I love Billy Joel, too. You see he's going back to Cincinnati? Him and Rod Stewart are going back to Cincinnati.
Yeah,
they're going to Paycor. All right, Daryl, let's fix your life. Go ahead.
I had a hair emergency last night because I realized...
Can I just say this for a second? Topics we never talk about on midday. Keep going. Yes.
I realized that getting up at 4 a.m., not ideal for wanting to comb my hair. I am all about low maintenance in my life, and combing my hair is just one of those things I don't want to have to worry about. So it's getting late in the day.
What is this, cheaper by the dozen? What do you mean? Combing your hair is such a – that 4.5 seconds of running a comb through your hair is a huge problem.
How bad was it on the sides, Daryl? Because it's pretty short right now.
It's very short right now because I got it taken care of. But my issue that I ran into, it was a personal conflict that I had.
Yeah.
Was I cut it close to closing time at the barbershop.
Okay.
So does this make me a jerk because I walk in 20 minutes before they're about to close?
I have questions.
I do too. What kind of soup did they serve before they gave you the cut?
No soup.
No soup. Okay.
No just soup for me.
Soup guy.
Just make it. No, I'm just. It's the bowl that they used.
Andy likes watery substances. We're finding out this morning.
The coffee goes with it too.
This coffee isn't bad, except for the grinds.
Did you go to a big box haircutting?
Because it was one of those. Yeah, I just needed to.
No, yeah. Then I think you're fine. I mean, that's part of the deal, right?
Yeah, I tipped well. I tipped 50%.
And this is a service as far as like you know, this is not, I run into this a lot right now, especially this time of year where it is 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I have not eaten since, my breakfast Cheetos this morning, right?
Yeah.
And so I find myself in a drive-through line, and they're about to close in 15 minutes, and I hate that.
When's too late?
Because I don't.
So wait, you're saying.
But for something like, it's not like they had to go get the Clippers back out of the, you know.
Well, actually, they kind of did because really? When I was walking in.
Oh, they were already clean?
They were, everything was clean. Well, the lady was cleaning the mirrors.
Barbicided and something like that?
Like, yeah. They were, I mean, and I kind of like felt bad when I walked in because there's no one there. I'm the only one there.
But you had an appointment already or no?
No.
Oh.
It was a walk-in.
Did you check in on the app?
I did check in on the app.
Oh, then you're good. You they knew you were coming.
But I checked in when I got to the parking lot because there was no waiting.
Oh.
Okay.
So
it might explain why one side's uneven than the other for the fact that you woke in late.
You're always going to run into this because the place in Avon Lake that I take my kids to get their haircut, which is, you know, a chain place, they, during the week, if you know, like Monday through Thursday, I think they close at 5. It's early.
Yeah.
Compared, and then they will stay open, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they stay open till 8 or 9 at night. But those days of the week, and so it's like if I go in at 4:30, I'm supposed to feel bad that you have already started your routine with every one of your kids, you should feel bad.
Yeah.
No, it's only the boys. The
but no, so when's the so my question is when any service when is no. too late to walk in when it comes to a closing time?
If you don't have an appointment, so here's the rule, general rule I think we do, like when we go to a restaurant and we know it's closed, let's say they close at 9.
Right.
And it's like 8:40. If there's people in the restaurant, then I'll just be normal about it, okay? But if you see there's only one or two tables, I'll always say to the host or hostess or the server, hey, are we killing you if we sit down and eat this late? Because a lot of times they'll be like, no, it's not a big deal, especially if like, you're doing something simple like a pizza or something, and you want to sit down and like, no, we got to clean up. We're going to be here for an hour anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But I'll always ask. I never walk in. I'll be like, hey, I'll say straight out, are we killing you because we're coming in this late?
You're consciously going, hey, if it's going to be out of the... Because that sucks if you go in and you're like, well, what are the appetizers? Let me get a drink. Let me get, you know.
Yeah, I'm not in there.
Fill yourself and go.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there for a 2.5 hour meal.
So my conscience is clear then.
Yeah, you should be fine. Okay. I think I run into that a lot. Like, I do a lot of my own home renovation stuff. And I know I need this piece or part. And I might be up for another 2 hours working on that. But that store is closing in 20 minutes, and I know they hate to see you walk in 10 minutes before they close because they're trying to shut down and be out of there within the next 30.
I legit felt bad when I walked in.
But I know, like, hey, I am going to the aisle that I need the thing. There's no browsing. There has been times where when we were in the decision process, my wife and I were like, let's go look at these things, and we should probably not be here that late. We should probably
Why are we strolling through the store? Yeah, I think my favorite thing to do is to go grocery shop, speed shopping at the end of the night. So if they close at 10, like when they start turning the lights off on you when you're in the grocery store and they do the light flicker thing. You ever been in there for that?
Yes, that has happened
before, reminiscent of grocery stores.
When I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store, a couple different ones, and it was people coming in at, you know, we close at 10 and they come in at 9:45 and they get the cart.
Hello, shopping.
And they start filling it. We're trying to be out of here at 10:15. We've got to mop the entrance and we're leaving.
Like, yeah, I'm not doing the weekly shop on that too. I'm like, I'm in because I need milk or I need something real quick. I'm in and out. And now I really don't feel bad about it too because you're not keeping a cashier there either later too with all the instant stuff.
Hello, shoppers. The store is closing in 10 minutes. Please make your wage at the cash registers.
It's true. Daryl Ryder, get out of aisle 4. Now,
please get the you know what out of here.
We see you in there. You need to leave.
Right. So I don't feel bad. Okay.
Do we fix your problem?
I appreciate that you went and got the haircut. You're going to look great on video today. Those videos that Keith puts out of you.
I'm not going to lie. That is the whole reason behind it.
You don't seem to care on the podcast. You don't care what you look like on the podcast.
That is very true.
Yeah. I didn't seem to care this morning when I woke up. I wasn't about to.
I know you're wearing a Miami hockey hat right now.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Anyone have a problem with that? I'll switch. I'll wear your Avon Lake hat. You can have my Miami hat.
You were wearing the Owen Lotteman starter kit. It is a hoodie and a hat every day.
Yeah. I kind of figured.
Even in the summer.
I kind of figured like sitting here all morning with the hood up would not be a good look for me. So.
Yeah, did you think I was going to wear a suit with a tie coming in here this morning?
No, but I would have laughed if you did. And I would have laughed even harder if you spilled some of that awful coffee on it.
And last question, what would you have said if I came in with a suit and tie? If I was wearing a suit, you would have said, everyone would have said.
I probably can't say what I'd really say.
You would have said, where are you interviewing after this? After the show? That's what you would have said.
Either that or whose backside are you kissing by wearing said suit?
Who died.
That's the other one. Normally, though, I think at this stage of the game still, it's the where are you interviewing? Like every time you see somebody dressed up, you always think, oh, they're going for an interview.
If it was a dark suit, I probably would have asked you who died.